right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. No, I hope everybody's having a fantastic morning, noon, or night. Wherever you guys are in the world, you're certainly in the right place. You guys are at the Crypto 101 podcast, and we have another fantastic guest. This bull market has been crazy so far. It's been like 6 or 7, maybe 8 weeks of bull market, and it's been a ton of fun. But Brendan, I noticed you're wearing an interesting color shirt. Does that tend to match the sentiment of the first pullback in this bull market that we feel?
You know, I'm wearing a red shirt today.
A bright red shirt.
a bright red shirt. And for those of you who aren't watching on the YouTube channel, you're going to want to check it out because that's where you're able to get all of the video. For all you Spotify, for all you Apple Music listeners, definitely check out the YouTube channel.
What a plug.
Yeah, Bryce, I'm rocking a bright red shirt today to symbolize the first real pullback that we've seen in a while in the crypto markets. But, you know, despite us seeing a little bit of a pullback, I'm still not that worried. There is so much technical and fundamental development that is still happening. And I still think the best is yet to come, despite a little pullback here.
Yeah, the long-term future is bright. This is just an incredibly, you know, emerging new market that's just got innovation pouring out of its ears, it feels like. Every single time we talk to somebody, we get more and more bullish. We've got an amazing guest joining us today. Johan Kerbrat, who is the GM of crypto at Robinhood. So, Johan, welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast. We're excited to dive in with you today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
we're going to have a lot of fun. You know, Robinhood is a big company, but you didn't just one day wake up and just start working there. There's a history. There's a backstory to who Johan Kerbrat is. And we want to know that. We want to kind of know. You know, you've got an extensive background in engineering. We want to know kind of what you were doing and how you became the GM of crypto at Robinhood, especially, you know, leaving household names like Uber and Airbnb to kind of come over to the crazies in crypto with us.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a long story, so I don't want to, you know, be very boring. But basically, when I was pretty young, when I was 16, 17, I started a company. At the time, we're building payments rails for applications and e-commerce websites and things like this. And, you know, at the time, it was mostly just credit cards and debit cards, right? And that's more or less when the first Bitcoin white paper started to be published in, you know. And the first time I read it, maybe a year later, I was like, oh, this is actually something that could be cool. So that was really my first dips in the crypto world, and then, you know, became an engineer, like you said, at different companies, and I worked at a privacy coins where we were building a new layer one, and then you know, joined Robinhood as a head of engineering for the crypto space, and then, you know, became the general manager after that. But really excited. It's a huge opportunity for me. It's also, you know, really exciting to work on an application that is used by so many people, and everything that we do is being utilized and you know, tested by millions of customers. And so that's really like amazing for an engineer and now for the lead of the business.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And like, you know, I love that story. Like, you read the Bitcoin white paper, you were kind of blown away. You're like, this is crazy. And was it right at that moment, you know, crypto came onto your radar as a, you know, for the first time, or had you heard about it in the past? And did that sort of moment, you know, when was the first time you could think about like, oh, I'm going to go put money in the market, or, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So that was really early stage. It was like 2010. And so at the time, like I you can hear from my accent, right? I'm not from the US. I'm from France. And it was pretty difficult to even just buy Bitcoin or buy crypto. So
2010 at the time, is early, man.
Right. It was pretty early. And so at the time I was just like running a few miners, and, you know, started to accumulate the crypto and started to understand like the value prop compared to what I was offering with my startup. And, you know, and it's still an issue today, right? Like, if someone uses a credit card, you actually always have risk of fraud, and for a merchant there's also like settlement delay. So if you know, you pay somebody with a credit card, they will only get the money actually in their account in like 2 or 3 days, and then there's always a risk of contesting the charge and all these things. And at that time, I was like, wait, you know, Bitcoin actually solved this. Like, you can just pay somebody, the Bitcoin is landed, and there is no more issue of fraud or chargeback or anything like this. So that was kind of the idea. Of course, many issues, you know, with Bitcoin in terms of like scale at the time, how many people can use it, can accept it, the delay for the transaction. And so that was kind of preventing like a global adoption on day one. But I think we are getting there, you know, like in a lot of places. And so still very excited about the space.
And Johan, you know, I don't think Robinhood needs any kind of introduction. I'm sure the majority of listeners out there are very familiar with what Robinhood is and what kind of work that you all do over there. But for the people who maybe aren't as familiar, maybe they're not as plugged into the smartphone space and they're not as plugged into the like phone and application side of things, can you briefly just describe like what Robinhood does and what your mission is?
Yeah, so Robinhood started in 2013. Since then, we have about 23 million customers, a bit more than that, actually. Wow. And really, the mission has been to democratizing finance for all and making a lot of, you know, complicated product accessible to everybody. And so at this point on Robinhood, you can trade stock, options, crypto. You can open a retirement account. You can also get yield on the cash that you hold on the platform. And so, you know, the idea behind Robinhood is to basically have one app to manage all your finance.
Yeah, no, and it's gotten a lot of success. I mean, 23 million users is a heck of a lot of people. And would you say kind of your main competitor, like Robinhood as a whole, kind of outside of even crypto, like the main competitor is Charles Schwab and like, you know, kind of those classic brokerage accounts, or is it more, you know, Coinbase or something else like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's a variety of competitors for us. Yeah. On the brokerage side, you know, it will be more like a Schwab or a Fidelity or something like that. And for us on the crypto side, you know, Coinbase is obviously one of our main competitor. And, you know, we tend to build our product in a way that you actually don't have to choose between multiple companies to manage all your finance. And I think one of the big key advantage of Robinhood is that, you know, if in November you're excited about, you know, any kind of stock, you can invest in that stock. And then in December, if you want to move from equities to actually crypto, you can do it within the same app and without having to transfer money between different platforms and all these kind of things. So I think, you know, it's very powerful for people to really be able to just have one control over all their finance.
Yeah. And I'm curious, I would love to know kind of just, you know, catch us up with where we are at with Robinhood Crypto. So as the general manager, you're kind of overseeing all crypto operations. And I'm just curious, you know, what can people leverage the platform? You know, I want our listeners to go check it out. What can they expect? Are they going to just be using it to trade? Are they doing DeFi? Are they swapping? Are they sending coins like a wallet? What's all encompassing here?
Yeah, you know, I think things changed a ton since I joined. So, you know, we launched crypto at Robinhood in 2018. At the time, we only had Bitcoin and Ethereum. You could only trade. You could not send or receive crypto from your account. Since then, we did a lot of things. So now we have about 15 coins or assets on the platform. One of them is a stable coin.
Which stable coin?
It's USDC. Okay. And then we added, of course, crypto transfer, which was one of the top requested feature from our customers. So if you're in an eligible state, you're able to receive or send crypto from your account. And we've also kind of, you know, change the way the overall UI and UX is for crypto. So now you have advanced charts. You also have new order types where you can place a stop loss, for example. We also created a new home tab where you can see all your crypto and insight on the crypto. And so, you know, little by little, what we do at Robinhood is we go talk to our customers and we ask them, like, what's missing? What do you want on the platform? And, you know, they tell us and we try to incorporate it in the product in the next release. And so that's on the custodial platform. And in March this year, we also launched a self-custody wallet For all iOS customers, it's available worldwide, and I think we already have like 100,000 of downloads in 140 plus countries. And so this self-custody wallet is really like kind of your gateway to get to anything Web3. So of course you can transfer from your Robinhood account to that self-custody wallet if you don't want to custody your coins on Robinhood, but if you want to self-custody them, or if you want to access Web3 dApps or anything like that, you know, you can use this app. So that was a big, big step for us. I think it was kind of our first like hooray into the Web3 world. And I've been really excited to see like people using it more and more.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Robinhood's latest update of custody where users can send and receive crypto. So I'm curious, like which cryptos are available for this? Is it just like select ones, maybe the big ones like Bitcoin and Ethereum? And also, is this full self-custody or is Robinhood acting as the custodian of sorts here?
Yeah, so on Robinhood, the main app, the custodial platform, you can, if you're eligible, so there is a state where we are not offering it yet, but if you're eligible, you can send
What's
and receive.
What's the state?
New York.
Ah.
But we're working, you know, on it, and we're hoping to offer it soon. But if you are like not in the States and if you're eligible, you can receive or send all the cryptocurrencies that we offer on the platform. So that's the 15 that
Wow.
we have. And on the self-custody wallet side, we don't play any role in the custody. So it's your private key, it's your key, your coin. There are risks with it. You know, obviously we try to tell people and explain them that, you know, this key is very important and they need to make sure to save it in a secure space. But once they have this self-custody wallet, they can do anything that they would like on the Web3 world, have any type of token that they can get on DEXs and things like this. And Robinhood has no access at all on this thing.
That's awesome. I love it. It sounds like you guys are kind of playing both angles, right? You're able mm-hmm. to kind of offer people two different solutions and say, hey, you guys choose whichever one you kind of want. I'm curious though, as well, you mentioned 15 coins that Robinhood lists. Are you kind of the gatekeeper of that? Or what's the criteria, the listing process that goes into being one of those lucky, you know, small select cohort of coins?
Yeah, I think at Robinhood, we took a very kind of a very different approach from other platform. Like, We wanted to make sure that we are not going to list 100 of coins and then those coins have issues and you have to delist them. And, we see
the
some of this
platform. Engineering upkeep with wallets and stuff.
The engineering upkit. And there is also, you know, we want to make sure that what we offer on the platform go through a very rigorous vetting. And so we have an entire committee that meet regularly to check the assets on the platform, make sure that everything seems correct and that the risk is correct as well. So it goes from, you know, analysis on legal compliance, security, technical things, and it's a very, very long and vetted process. And our goal is to make sure that it's not just an asset on the platform. We want to make sure that we can send it correctly, for example. So if the network hash rate is very low and, you know, there will be risk of doing double spending or thing like this, for mm-hmm. example, we will have a discussion. Do we need to put a banner on the website, or do we need to think about removing this asset, like this kind of things? And then we revisit the list of assets continually. And I think one of the main questions for us also is, you know, what do our customer want? And so that's something that we listen a lot, making sure that we offer the asset that people are asking us.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And so I want to get into some of these Web3 apps that might be accessible through the Robinhood platform. Tell us about that. Can people kind of go and, you know, get into Aave or Compound or MakerDAO? Maybe NFTs, maybe the ability to hit a staking service along the way?
Yeah, so the wallet is made in a way where, you know, we want to give you access to anything that you want to do in the Web3 space. So if you go directly to a dApp, you can connect your wallet. You know, it's a it's a system that many wallets use now using Wallet Connect, so it's very simple. We also have a dApp section where we help you kind of navigate through all these dApps. And, you know, our goal is to give you what you want. So if the customer wants to go on a DEX, if they want to go to a staking service, if they want to do games, like we see a lot of people interacting with games or social network lately, you know, they can do it, and it's very simple for them.
You know, I'm curious from a customer standpoint, where, or I guess what areas are you seeing the most demand in?
You know, it really depends of the market and kind of how is crypto in the news. So, you know, in the past year, I think we were more in a kind of in a more quiet market, I will say. You know, Bitcoin was not in the news every morning. And so we saw a lot of our customers that are a bit more active traders asking us for features. So that's why we really doubled down on, you know, feature like advanced charts where they can do technical analysis on it and you know, build their strategy. You know, earlier this year when Web3 was still very top of mind for a lot of people, we had a lot of requests around NFTs. So we built a way to support NFTs within a wallet. You can see all your NFTs, you can you know, interact with it. And so it's kind of a, you know, a constant feedback loop, right? Like we do regular round of what we call user research, but it's really just us going to customer and asking them, like, why do you like, why do you hate the platform? And let's try to find, you know, ways to bring what you're looking for in different competitors or what you're missing in every app into Robinhood.
Yeah, and I'm sure customer demand probably varies as well. I mean, we saw the big AI boom last year, and everyone wanted to be a part of AI. And then we see booms.
Paradigm even took crypto off of their freaking investing website or something, didn't they? They like put they're like, we just like do innovation investing now, like at the very bottom. I'll never forget that.
Who was that, Bryce?
I think that was Paradigm.
Oh, tragedy. Yeah.
Side note.
I think, you know, that's something that you were asking me earlier, like why I joined Robinhood, and it's something actually that I loved about the company is that when we launched crypto at Robinhood, it was February of 2018. You know, it was like the bottom of the last winter. And at the time, you know, I'm sure that Robinhood was always getting the question, like, why are you launching crypto? Is it dead? And, you know, when we talk with leadership, we're always thinking about building for the long term. And I think that's really something that is exciting for me is like, you know, even this year, we didn't change any kind of investment in terms of resources at the company. We kept working on crypto because we wanted to be there when the next cycle come. And when our customers are going to ask for more crypto features, they will be actually ready to use and not just, you know, in development. And that's something that was, you know, blown away when I joined Robinhood at the time.
So instead of kind of playing to all these niches and all these little hype bubbles, you're more focused on like the long-term outlook, right? You're looking at the bigger picture. And so instead of looking at, I guess, like the short term of like, hey, AI is really hot, let's start offering all these AI tokens and all these AI features, you're more looking at the crypto space as a whole and say, let's put ourselves in the best position so that, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now, we can really kind of be like a leading horse in this race.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, for us, we see crypto as a financial framework of tomorrow. Like we see blockchain as a way to solve so many issues in the current traditional finance system of today. And, you know, we think that this is a very long-term play. This is not just like a 6 month play. So that's why when there is like something hyping on the crypto market, like we don't list that coins right away. Or if there is an NFT suddenly being, you know, the discussion at dinner tables, like we don't necessarily act on it. We want to be the platform that you will come to and you know, make a really thought through decision, not necessarily like just trying to get on the latest hype.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a fine balance to strike right there between, you know, kind of moving fast and breaking things and listing everything and kind of following the momentum and the hype and listing things and delisting things and, you know, offering new products and taking them away. And like it gets to be kind of crazy. And so kind of taking right. That longer term approach, more stability is probably the right way. I do kind of have a follow up, though, to that, because, you know, if you think about it holistically, what would be an ideal kind of partner for Robinhood? You know, who, you know, as you're kind of looking at the crypto landscape, are you thinking, you know, out of your problems that crypto could solve, would it be something like, hey, you know, we could get better, you know, interest from this DeFi platform, or we could get lower fees from this layer two, or like, what would be an ideal sort of partnership if you were to kind of go down that path?
Yeah, you know, we already have a decent amount of partner at Robinhood Crypto to power like the entire kind of system and machinery. And for us, I mean, to your point, you know, pricing has always been top of mind. We always thought that, you know, if we want people to get into this space, we need to make the experience more magical. And, you know, I'm from the people that think that if you want to get into an NFT, but you have to go from fiat to crypto, pay a fee, transfer to your wallet, pay a fee, buy an NFT and pay a fee. You know, at the end of the day, like the experience was not magical. You just paid a lot of fees in every places. So at Robinhood, we made a very conscious effort to build a system that allows us to offer best price. And something that we actually published a couple of months ago is that on average on Robinhood Crypto, you will get more crypto for your money than other platform that, you know, we also mentioned. And that was really, really important for me. I really wanted to make sure that if we want more people to come into the crypto space, we were not going to limit them and not going to take advantage of them by charging them more and more during, you know, during this cycle. And so this year, if you look at what we did, we first went completely transparent on our pricing. We did that in H1, where we now display to use a spread, the entire spread of the order that you're going to place. And we tell you how much Robinhood is making from this order.
That's really nice. That's a really cool feature.
That was something that, you know, our customers were asking a lot. They were, you know, telling us that they had a lot of trouble to compare pricing because some platform tells you they charge a fee, but they also have a hidden markup on the spread. Some platform just charge you a markup. Some platform just charge you a fee. You know, it was getting so confusing. So we took the, you know, the approach of just like, if we are fully transparent, people can compare. And then in September, we published on our website, you can go look at it. Like we published a comparison of how much crypto you will get for a specific amount of dollar. And we refresh the study every month currently. And the goal for us is to really show to people, like, if you come on Robinhood, you will get more crypto for your dollar. Yeah. And I think if we all do that, we will get more people excited to get into the crypto world.
I agree. I think transparency, it builds trust, right? I mean, that's been the whole the whole basis of blockchain, right? And it's cool to hear that you guys are kind of incorporating that. And I think one of the things, you know, that crypto doesn't have is it doesn't have market closes, right? It's 24/7, 365, which presents quite some challenges. For a brokerage, I'd imagine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I guess, you know, also one thing it doesn't have is circuit breakers. So we see Bitcoin go up 25% a day and then down 25% the next day and alarms are going off and all that stuff. And, you know, there's no ability to kind of shut down like the trading for a certain coin or anything like that, as there is in the stock market, as centralized institutions have their right to do to protect their customers and all that kind of stuff. Robinhood has exercised that right in the past to shut down sort of you know, buy side or sell side of certain assets. How do you kind of deal with crypto in that complex right there?
Yeah, you know, I think we worked a lot on our platform to really make it even more robust than it was at the time. Like back in 2021, we had, you know, very, very wide days in terms of volume that we were dealing with. And so since then, and that's really when I joined as a head of engineer for the crypto business. We are running our system with a pretty crazy, what we call load test. And so we simulate basically how much volume we can generate, how much, you know, customer demand we can have on the platform. And we generate this load test at like multiples of what we've seen like of our, you know, top days. And that allows us to basically build our systems and our platform in a way that will always kind of be able to sustain like the demand that a customer will have. And for us, like, you know, that's the most important thing. We, you know, to your point around trust, we want to build a trust that if you need us because you want to take advantage of the market crashing and you want to buy or you want to exit your position, you know, we should be there and we should be able to be there for you. And so, you know, a lot of our engineering resources are just dedicated to that alone.
And Johan, we have a really big event around the corner. You might be familiar with it, the Bitcoin ETF. I mean, it feels like it is so close, and we are partying. I see Bryce is over on his
screen.
I'm going
to get the food ready, baby. I'm going to be popping champagne.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting thing. It's something that a lot of us have been waiting for so long. But I'm curious, I guess, how you think that the Bitcoin ETF will affect your business over at Robinhood.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting one. I think what I'm really excited about is that, you know, it will bring legitimacy to the asset. And, you know, it's going to be something that everyone will now be able to access. You know, if they add a retirement account or something, they will be able to get exposure to it. I think as a crypto person, what's a bit sad for me is like these coins are locked into the ETF, and so for retail, you know, I think we will have still a lot of demand for people that want to buy on a platform like Robinhood and move to their self-custody wallet or use them somehow, and you know, still, you know, will be interested to actually own the actual crypto. And I think the other part is that pricing wise, it will still be better to buy on spot on Robinhood crypto. From what I've seen so far, like our pricing will still be better.
That's awesome. That's really good to hear. I'm really excited about these. I think, like you said, it's going to bring legitimacy. It's going to bring better transparency. One of the other angles I'm thinking about is, you know, the ability for these big institutions who it's been expensive to outlay just cold hard cash to buy Bitcoin, right? Especially when rates are so high. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a higher hurdle. And there's never been really a capital efficient way to really get into the crypto market for these $1 billion institutions. For little guys like us, sure, we could go buy spot crypto, no big deal. But the ability to like kind of, you know, have these elaborate sort of option strategies with this Bitcoin ETF and have a super liquid market, and then also kind of being able to margin that, right? And have some level of capital efficiency from margining the ETF, it'll be heavily incentivizing all sorts of different institutions to now take a look at it as a diversification sort of asset and then be able to bring it in their portfolio, not have the drag of all the things that portfolio managers don't like. So it's going to be huge. I can't wait. And I think it's going to be a huge boom for businesses like Robinhood and all this. I think it's going to be the tide that lifts all boats. So I truly can't wait for that. And one other thing, kind of in tandem with the ETF, why I'm so bullish on 2024, I think it's going to be a beautiful year, is the Bitcoin halving. Yeah. And you've lived through three of them. I've lived through three, but I wasn't really around back in the first one, right? And so you were around for all three halvings. You were an investor in crypto since the early days. And I kind of want to know, do you see this halving unfolding in a similar way as a driver of that hype cycle? You know, this is going to be April 2024 for all of our listeners. It's, you know, what kind of makes Bitcoin a little bit more scarce every 4 years. It's happening again. And it seems like every time, about 12 to 18 months after the halving, we reach a new all-time high. It's happened every time. Is it going to happen again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's not a question I can answer. Like, I'm more on the engineering side and less on the prediction side. But I think what's the question that I always tell people is, like, you know, you have to also think that the halving now is, like, it's a fourth one. So, you know, people, you know, like you already started to analyze like what happened in the first three times. And, you know, the question is like, is it already priced in the market? And, you know, will there actually be an impact or not on the price? That's TBD, I think. But the more interesting thing for me to think about is, you know, the impact on the miners. You know, a lot of the miners right now are not going to be efficient enough after the halving to generate enough return on investment from the miners. And so I think that's going to be something that I'm going to follow closely. I also think it's a good opportunity for some of these miners to you know, they are going to buy a new machine or new miners, and they will be able to use more clean energy and things like this. So, you know, excited to see what's going to be the impact there. But what I know for sure, it's like there will be a lot of question after the famous April. I think what is it now? It's April 14th or 23rd, I think.
Yeah, that's the it's targeted for like April 23rd, 2024, something like that, and give or take a window of maybe 10 days or something.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see in 4 months, I guess, now.
It's starting to get close. It's really starting to get close, which, you know, gets me excited for one. But Johan, before we let you go, I saw that Robinhood was expanding its crypto services over into the EU. So I'm curious, from your experience, how have other countries reacted to crypto in comparison to the United States? Because it's easy for someone like me or Bryce or you that live here, you know, to think of a certain way about crypto. But do people overseas in different countries and different continents think of it differently? Or are they just as excited?
Yeah, you know, so our Europe offering, we're really excited about it. It happened last week, so I'm still recovering from the launch and, you know, everything that happened that day. It's a, you know, it's a lot of work that comes into fruition, and that moment when you press a button and everything goes live, you're always, you know, you're kind of scared, worried that something will go wrong. And when things are starting to work correctly, you see the first signups, you see the first user like going through the flow, you know, it's always a very special moment. So excited. The adrenaline is very high that night, and I think even the morning we were all like super excited. I think for your question on, you know, how are people using it, I think it really depends on the countries, and I think that's the beauty of crypto is, you know, in the US we have a pretty good payment system. Like, you can go anywhere to a coffee and pay with your credit card. We also have banks.
Take it for granted over here, that's for sure.
We take it for granted, absolutely. And some countries, they didn't really have like the period of banks from the 1980s or 1990s that we had. Some countries have hyperinflation. Some countries have, you know, not necessarily a bank at every corner. And so for us, you know, we always thought about how do we bring our products to more people on the planet. And that's kind of what was the idea with the wallet at the time, really giving an option for anyone with a smartphone to be able to have a custody wallet. But it's really exciting when you go to some of these countries and you see, like, you know, how they are adopting the crypto to do anything. You know, some are buying Bitcoin because they want to fight against the inflation of their currency. Some are using USDC for a payment method or any kind of, you know, USD stable coin. So, you know, for me, Europe, it's also close to my heart since I'm French, like I mentioned before. And we are pretty excited to, you know, just start with a simple offering. We'll have a 25 plus crypto over there. The thing that is really exciting about it is you will get Bitcoin back for every trade that you place on the platform. And you also get up to... Yeah, it's a pretty exciting offering that we really wanted to get in place. And you also get up to one Bitcoin when you sign up and when you refer friends on the platform.
Wow.
And yeah, there will be more to come. At this point, it's a simple product. You know, at Robinhood, we want everything to be very simple. We want to invest a lot on education. We think that people need to learn before doing any kind of investment. And so we'll see where it takes us.
Man, I love it, Johan. That sounds incredible. And there's just a ton of exciting things in the future, both for Robinhood and crypto broadly. We just want to ask a final question. Kind of just like, you know, if somebody who's watching this right now is a brand new crypto user, maybe they're just getting in, they saw the prices are high, they're excited, or maybe they've been here through the bear market. Either way, you know, what's some advice that you would give to somebody who's just in the crypto market right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, the main important thing I said usually is like learn about the space. And so start with very small amount, you know, things that you're not too worried about, and slowly try to also focus on one or two aspects of the crypto world. it's a bit too easy to get lost into, you know, Web3, DEXs, NFTs, all this kind of stuff, and also all the different chain that exist. But, you know, I think, for example, on Robinhood, we have a lot of education content. We explain to you what is even like cryptocurrency, what is the difference between the different consensus mechanism, like proof of work, proof of stake, and slowly get into it. And, you know, I think the important part also is to have a bit of fun on what you're trying to do, especially when you get into the more Web3 space, like when you try to get NFTs or games and things like this. You know, think about what is it and why you think it's useful before really getting into it.
I love it. I think that's incredible advice. You know, kind of learn about it, get the knowledge, gain the conviction, gain the belief, because that will be tested through any market, right? If you don't have the belief and the knowledge, you're going to be selling at the worst possible times when they're trying to scare you out of the market. And so make sure that you are equipped in order to stand the test of time. I love it. Johan, thank you so much for joining us today on the Crypto 101 podcast. Robinhood is a pretty easy website to access, robinhood.com. It's pretty easy to find. It's typically on one of the top sort of apps on the Apple Store in the finance and business department. But is there any sort of other initiatives or links that you want to drop here? Any sort of any last sort of communications before we sign off for the day?
No, really, you know, go on the website, look at our pricing and, you know, give us feedback. I think that's really something that, you know, the entire team that I have at the company working on crypto, we actually listen to feedback and we try to get as much as possible. So don't hesitate to share it with me or with the team. And, you know, hopefully we'll get more people in the crypto pie and more people onboarding into crypto thanks to Robinhood and thanks to the rest of the crypto community.
Amen. I think that's a great mission here, and I'm with you. So we're going to do our part. You're going to do your part. Everybody at home listening is going to do their part, and we're all going to have a great future together. Anyhow, Johan, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to have you back on again soon.
Anytime. It was a lot of fun. Anytime.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.